The end of religions.
We're talking about ending all of the religions in the United States and in the world. You know how many there are? In the United States, there are 50,000 religions registered. 50,000. I'm not sure if in that tabulation they included the Bible students. But if you put a factor of 6, we're talking about 30,000 religions in the 30,000 religions in the world. I'm going to talk about what people want. People in this civilization want, above any value that exists, the value of freedom. Freedom is the big thing. And it could mean many things, but certainly it means religious freedom. It seems people are leaving their churches, their temples, their institutions, their religious organizations for more religious freedom. To be clear, I'm not talking about Christianity versus all other religions. Take a look at the religious history, including Christianity, you will see the message of Jesus corrupted and changed over the years. Jesus' message can be summarized in one goal. He wanted to tear down all existing religious organizations and to replace them with God's kingdom on earth. Jesus wanted people to know God in the way it was originally intended. Do you think the religions are worshiping God the way He wants it? I don't think so. There are various approaches available to get back to the original teachings of God and Jesus. We begin to realize to get back to the original teachings, people must be cleansed and cleared of beliefs, their theories, their guesses, their doctrines, and the theories and teachings of the past. Revelation 16:17. Revelation is a mystery, a book of mysteries. You know, when we went to Patmos. How many of you have ever been to Patmos? Raise your hands. Oh, we have a few people. Good. I took a group of brethren over to Patmos. I wanted to see where John was and what he was experiencing. You go on to Patmos, you have to go to Patmos through Turkey. We were in Greece, so you have to go out of the country and then go to Turkey. And then Turkey had to be back to go to Greece. It's complicated. And boy, they were there for the money. But we did finally get there. And John was in a cave when he wrote this. A cave that you wouldn't even put your dog there. It was cold, it was wet, and all he had was just one block. And I think of my office and my desk and all of the available services. And I think of John. I say, yeah. And he wrote this, Revelation 16:17. He wrote how God is going to get rid of all the religions. Are you interested in knowing that? Sure you are. But 16 and 17 is often omitted because it sounds difficult to interpret, and because it sounds weird. I'm going to give you my interpretation of what the seven plagues are. The seven plagues. Now, I got in the notes, I got two interpretations for you. One is mine, and one is another brother who I respected. I thought I'd give you his as well. And you might have a third. But it will be interpretations of 16, 17. How God is going to get rid of the religions in the globe. And we're going to consider global religions as Babylon. And it describes best how he's going to make these changes. God will do it in 7 plagues. Now, the word plague is translated differently in other translations. In others, they call them bowls. You know what a bowl is? Bowls. In the bowls, God will put these plagues. And he's got angels that are going to pour it on people and on the earth and the sun. We got to know what that means. What is God doing? It's God that's doing it. The scriptures doesn't say Jesus, the Messiah, is doing it. God's doing it. He's getting rid of all the religions. That sounds good to me. You got 7 angels that pour the plague on global issues and so on. For example, the one thing that I think God hates, and God does hate, he hates the names of all these religions, that names of him, all these religions. Is it conceived that each religion has a different name for God? If I did, I would fill up 500 pages of God's names that exist in the world today. If you were God, how would you feel about that? How would you feel with all these names that they gave you? I'm not going to go through that. If you want to know, try Google. Google will give you all those names. But one of the reasons why, it's because all the languages everybody has. And they interpret this name of God in their own language. On page 1, those of you who had the notes, I give you a picture of the world and the different languages that there's there. You'll notice that Christianity is number 1. Islam is number 2. Buddhism, 3, in percentages of adherence. Now, I want to remind you that there will be a resurrection of all people. How much is all people? Is there a couple of dozen? Is there 1,000? Well, science says the number of people that ever lived since the Ice Age is 100 billion people. 100 billion people. Now, Brother Russell, in Volume 1, made an estimate, and these are estimates. He estimated the number of people standing up would be in the state of Texas. He said it'd be about 220 billion. But then he changed his mind. He says, no, I think that's still too much. He says, I favor a more conservative approach. And then he adjusted it to 120 billion. Well, that's not too bad from science. Science says 100 billion. Brother Russell said 120 billion. I have a friend, a German professor, who from time to time we talk, and he made a quantitative analysis of the number of people based on estimates through the generations and the number of generations we have since then. He said 80 billion. Well, that's not bad. One, the German professor, 80 billion. Brother Russell, 120 billion. And science, 100 billion. So that's the range, anyways. But do you know how much 100 billion people? Incidentally, when these people come back, they're not going to come back speaking your language. Unless you have their language. They're all going to have different languages. The Polish will have the Polish. That's why if you got a language, hang on to it. It's often the discussion, what language is there going to be in the Messiah's kingdom? Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. The Lord has not opened it up to me, and I'm sure he didn't open it up to you. But everybody will come back just as they went into the graves. No change. Hitler will come back just as he was, speaking German. And the Italians will come back speaking Italians. And the English will come back speaking English. These people, need to be converted from their language to the language that the kingdom is going to be. And I don't know what that language is. Does anyone know the language of the kingdom? I like those words. It's nice. But the speaking language, do you know? A pure language. I like those. But we don't know, you know, the Poles, they want it to be Polish. Because they remember a scripture from pole to pole. So it's got to be Polish. And there might be a temptation to say English. I doubt it'll be those languages. I think it's going to be a new language, a simplified one, and one in which you will teach all these people coming back. You're going to go to work when you go into the kingdom. Those of you who are trying to reach for the most holy group, the little flock. You want to be in that little flock? You're looking for work, big work. You're not looking for a vacation. If you think you go, I'm going in there to relax and for eternity. I'm sorry, but you're mistaken. These people, 100 billion people, have got to be brought back to God, perfect. That's the goal that Jesus has in his many goals. Now, the seven plagues, often called the wrath, seven wraths of God. It does not mean vengeance. It does not mean God is getting even with these people. It means a force or a planned cleansing, and change, especially to the elders. The word wrath does not mean fierce rage. It is a word that reveals a resentful indignation, but a planned cleansing. Chapter 16 describes this confusion as the Great Babylon. That will be your work and kingdom if you're of the little flock. I count 101 names of God. Google counts all. They can't even count it. Names of God, originally the world's largest biblical groups, such as baptism in the name of the Father. Baptism in the name of the Father, but it doesn't give you the name. The Jews have a lot of names. In Matthew 23:9, have we not all one Father? It seems that Jesus wants us to call God Father. Can you imagine we calling Jesus Father? Well, what do we mean by that? Life giver. He's given you life, whether you call it human life or spiritual life. In Malachi 2:10, After this manner, therefore pray that our Father which art in heaven, again, Father. This is going to be the new name. Everyone is going to use this. We are forerunners of that name. Did you hear the prayers today? Our Father which art in heaven. And in Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father in heaven. That's who he will be. When you say Father, life giver. Some reflections about God from people of the planet Earth. More wars have been waged and conducted, and more people were killed, and more evil penetration in the name of God and religion in human history. Sad truth is that it continues today. God will do something about that. God is not sleeping. The Messiah is not sleeping. There's a preparation that's necessary for the kingdom. God wants the whole truth for planet Earth. And we're on page 2 now. God wants people on Earth to be more spiritual, for their own sake of understanding the truth. Most religious react, your money or your life. God has allowed humans to see the fact of using money for life and its salvation is worthless. I'm now on page 3. I tried to develop the issues, world issues, that will exist in the messianic challenge. I've got them in 3 columns. I'm not going to go through them. It will take too much time. But sources of world issues. These are problems you're going to be working on. You're going to try to bring this 100 billion people, approximately, back to God. Perfect. And Jesus will be there with you. Lifestyle issues and sources of evil. Literally, Babylon was a city built on the literal river Euphrates, where symbolic Babylon sits on the symbolic river of Euphrates. The river represents people, nations, governments, different languages and cultures. Babylon was derived from the word Babel, which means confusion. That's what religion is all about. Babylon. Confusion. They don't have the truth. If the number of people since the beginning of time approximately 100 billion, and if most people were religious, 95% of this total are variable in their understanding and perception. We could really say that Babylon does not have the truth. We could really say that. They might have some. Sprinkles some ideas. It's hard to find biblical literature that can reach across global religious divides, but the Bible comes the closest. By understanding that the message is more important than the label, and by studying the personal examples and metaphors described in the Bible, Bible students can learn a lot from the personal examples and metaphors provided in scriptures. Let's examine some of our religious terms. I'm on page 4. God's wrath means planned cleansing. Don't think of it as anger or as vengeance. Planned and forceful cleansing designed to rid the earth of errors and sins and evils. Babylon means all global religions, because we are more and more globular in our religions. The Islam religion is not just in the Middle East. It's all over the world. The river Euphrates means the flow of all people in the globe. The Babel Tower's height refers to the religious leaders, primarily the Christian faith. 7 is a symbol of stages to complete the works. Pouring of God's wrath means God plans to bring about the change that is powerful and expected. Other symbols that we will use, the earth means all civilizations. The sea is the restless population, and the rivers of water is the flow of truth. The sun is the gospel message, and so on. I'm on page 5 now. The 7 bowls of God's wrath poured in 7 stages. There you have all outlined the 7 bowls. And I'm going to go through each one of those bowls as briefly as I can and to see what God is going to do. The first bowl is the bowl of judgment and his sores upon men. The sores can be boils. I like to think of them as boils. Symbolic of sins. Sins are serious with God. We got to say that again and again and again. Sins are serious. We say, don't worry, he'll forgive you. But remember, they are serious. He wants them stopped. We're the first group he has that is determined to stop sinning. The world sins like you never know. The world has gone through because of Adam, who was the first sinner. What comes out of the first bowl are the Armageddon factors that reveals them, condemns them, and revolves around them. So on page 6 and 7, I made a list of all the sins. Get rid of those sins. You will never make it without them. Or you'll never make them with them. The second bowl of judgment, God is going to change the seawater to black water. That don't sound something that is our understanding. The second angel poured out the bowl of God's wrath on the sea. And the sea became black, like a dead man. And the sea died. The people of the world no longer were alive in the sight of God. That's right. God does not... I one time had a discourse and I said, God doesn't listen to sinners in their prayers. I had a lot of disagreement on that. God listened to a lot of sinners. But you read it in John. He does not listen to sinners. The first bowl that poured on the earth was the bowl that changed the sea into something black, which was death, the image of death. The third bowl of judgment was the changes to seawater to blood. This is a very close picture of what Babel Tower was as a structure built by the descendants of Noah. As related to the book of Genesis, they journeyed eastward in the plain of Shinar and in the valley of the Euphrates. There they began to build themselves a city with high walls. The primitive account of the origin of different nations and the explanation of separate languages and a statement about the origin of sin in self-centered competition with God. This last element, a statement about the origin of sin in self-centered, this last element of the story set forth in the problem of man's alienation. The third bowl turns all sources of water, all sources of water. Water is the symbol of truth. Turns it into pure blood. This means that people do not have the truth as to who God is and what he does. Blood in a person means full of vitality. That's blood in our bodies. That blood gives you life. It continues you. And so the Bible is far more than a religious book for two major religions, Judaism and Christianity. The Bible is like a map that leads to the facts of living. To keep the Bible is the sole source that makes it idolatrous. The fourth bowl judgment poured on the sun. Can you imagine God pouring the fourth plague on the sun? Now, if we take that literally, it doesn't make sense, does it? He created the sun. Why would he pour it on the sun? But if we symbolize it, the scorching of the sun was pouring on the gospel message. That was the problem that the gospel message had. It includes all those who have the mark of the beast. I'll get to that in a minute. But basically, it means that the doctrines have changed. Look at the doctrines, especially in Catholicism. The Trinity. The Trinity is changing. It's now the quadrinity. Quadrinity. It's no longer in some circles, and it's going to envision the entire Christianity. Four people. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and who else? Mary. They have figured that they must be there, especially that she's the mother of God. Okay, the fifth bowl, the fifth bowl poured out on the throne of the beast, and the kingdom became dark. And three frogs. Again, we can't take these things literally. They're not literal frogs. But symbolically, three frogs made their harvest, makes the truth of God appear bloody to those who are not consecrated. They shed the blood of saints and prophets literally and figuratively. The frogs come out of three animals, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophets. we are suggesting to you that the dragon means the secular governments. We're suggesting to you the beast represents the papal system. And the third is the false prophets represent Protestantism. The sixth bowl judgment over the throne of the beast and the kingdom of the beast. The beast described in the sixth pouring of the bowl on God's judgment. The beast has a throne which rules its kingdom of darkness. There are three agencies connected with the gathering of hosts of the great battle of Armageddon. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophets. Who are these three? And you notice if you read the account in Revelation that the world follows these three. They are the leaders. The dragon, the beast, and the prophets. The dragon represents civil power of governments, powerful and huge. Well, we got the United Nations not doing a very good job of leadership, but nonetheless the world follows the United Nations. Then the beast represents the papal system, with terrible form that roams the whole earth and for many centuries. And even though the Catholic Church is not completely accepted by all, their systems are accepted, like the hell. Hell is still adopted by Protestants as well as the civil governments. The false prophet, also termed the image of the beast, represents the Protestant system of churches, a reflection of the mother past systems. Okay, let's take a look at 12. Page 12. Three unclean spirits like frogs. Three doctrines or ideologies from three world agencies. Emergings from the mouths of these three animals. Frogs are amphibious movements in the water into restless masses in the air and ecclesiastical systems. So we would suggest to you that the frog coming out of the dragon is croaking, coexistence. They know with their bombs, nuclear bombs, and you know that if we have a nuclear war, we're going to have a real time keeping people alive. The frog coming out of the beast is the papal systems, and they are croaking compromise. And the false prophet has the frog of coalitions. So those three ideologies are coming out of these frogs. One is coexistence. We got to coexist. Second is we got to compromise where we can. And third is we got to develop coalitions. A frog is a small amphibious animal. And I'm going to try to go through these quickly. The first frog on page 13. Three dangers threaten the over-extinction of mankind. Overpopulation is depleting scarce food. When we think of 100 billion people, they got to be fed. They got to eat. They got to drink. We have a problem even with the water cycle. We're not sure the water cycle is going to sustain these number of people. Nuclear accidents or nuclear war by development are used because they're stockpiled. Runaway inflation is breaking the world economies. The national debt, I think up today, is around $15 trillion. National debt in the United States. The world faces world crisis in history. The world is facing the worst that it's ever had. Announcing its addition, these banks in the European area are creating several severe strains in bank funding markets. Financial experts say the committee's action will be a titanic disaster. The second frog, now we're talking about the frogs that come out of the animals. One frog is coming out of the dragon. Another frog is coming out of the beast. The fourth frog is coming out of the false prophet. The second frog the Bible once rejected is now being compromised and included. Some of the awesome titles Catholicism has. Let me read some of these titles. The Pope is the most divine of all heads. The Pope is the Holy Father of Fathers. The Pope is the Pontiff Supreme of all religions. The Chief Pastor. Abraham, Melchizedek in order. Moses in authority. Is the Catholic Church declining in the United States? Yes. Let me give you some facts. Weekly attendance at the Mass dropped from 74% of enrollment Catholics in 1956 to just 25% in 2000. It dropped from 74% to 25%. In 1965, there were 58,000 priests in the United States, and by 2002, there were 45,000. So they've dropped. In 1965, 1,575 priests were ordained compared to 450 in 2002. I give you these statistics so that you can carry them with you. You have them written down in terms of nuns in the United States dropped from 180,000 in 1965 to 75,000 in 2002. The number of Catholic high schools have dwindled from 1,556 in 1965 to 786. The Catholic Church is declining. It's in trouble. And God is reaching for them because they're the ones that said, we are God on earth. On page 15, we give you some Catholic areas. Page 16, you'll see the papal line of popes. By the way, the present pope they have in Italy is going to retire very shortly. He's the second pope in the whole list of popes. Most of the popes die in office. But this pope here is getting fragile and old, and he's unable to carry out his performances. The third frog from Protestants, the coalitions. I give you on page 17 all those missions that they had to try to save the religions. I'm going to turn quickly because I expect the chairman to come up in a minute. We're now on page 21. I'll let you read those others. We got an overview of the harvest period by dates, and we suggest these to you. From 1874, when Jesus' second presence was announced, 1948, when Israel's statehood was announced, and in 1993, when the concept of globalization has come in. Globalization is functioning as a one world. Everybody's trying to get together, medical people, the military, and so on. I'm just curious about the one on the separation of the little flock and the great company. All the people in this auditorium, are they of the little flock? Anybody want to say yes? Are they all of the great company class? Raise your hands if you think we're all great company class. How many of you think there'll be some here that are of the little flock and some will be of the great company class? Raise your hands. I think that's the right. You don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. I'm going to give you a suggestion, and it comes from a picture of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is prefigured as the little flock, and Elisha is prefigured as the as the great company class. There will be a separation. Not in your eyes, but in God's eyes. What separated the two when Elijah was taken up into heaven and Elisha left behind? What separated them? It was a chariot. And there were horses drawing. I try to look at the account, see if we can count the number of horses that were there. They don't tell you what the number of horses. But horse in biblical languages means what? Doctrines. So it's the doctrines that separate the two. And there's many reasons for that, but the great company class see that more, that's more than doctrines, that the view of doctrines. It's the doctrines that give us the truth. That's how you know you got the truth. It's the doctrines. And if you abdicate those doctrines, you abdicate the truth. We're now on page 24 or 23. Just to look at the way we are, where are we in the stream of time? This map you have here, you have it up here too. But this one's a clearer one. You'll see the second dispensation and the third dispensation. I like to use the word civilization. The second civilization and the third civilization. If you follow those civilization lines, ignore all of them, and you'll see that it's dotted lines, you will see that between those two lines, the shaded area, where we are is right there. You are here. See the arrow? That's where you are. You're in the middle of two civilizations coming together and conflicting. One is going out and one's coming in. And so that supports the idea that there's an overlapping between the second civilization and the third civilization. There's an overlapping of the present evil world and the good world. I'll give that to you in terms of Isaiah 21:10. Isaiah says, there will be a time when it will be light, but it will also be dark. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. You ever get up 5 o'clock in the morning? I have many times. Look out the window, what do you notice? It's dark. It's black. So it's a new day. And we know it's a new day. And so we wait for a little while and the light starts coming in. That's the period we are in now, right now. There are two civilizations conflicting. The old civilization and a new one. I can't help but think in the frog. The seventh rock, it says that they will cross over the Euphrates. Euphrates River is a symbol of the separation between the eastern countries and the western countries. And I like to think that when it says that the plague will fall on that, it means that that line will disappear And the kingdoms of the East, China and India and all the Asiatic countries will cross over to Europe. And they're doing that now. And some of them are even going over to the, way over to the western part, which is the United States. Look at the people. Go to New York and look at the faces of the people. What do you notice? They're all foreigners practically. They all want to come here. They all want to leave their countries. And we're talking about the Chinese and the Indians that are making this pilgrimage. Now this is the time when the two civilizations are conflicting. The old civilization that's going out and the new one that's coming in. Like 5 o'clock in the morning, A new day has started, but the old is still here. Now, in the next page 23 and so on, is the second interpretation of Revelation 16 and 17. And so, I give that to you. It's another interpretation. There are many agreements that I have with it, but I wanted you to have a second interpretation of it. Page 26, you'll see I've even made predictions. 2010, 2011 with 2010 is gone. But I picked up some of the functions of 2010, some of the areas that are important, and I moved them over to see what's going to happen to them. I'll just submit that to you as notes. We go up to 2050 predictions that we make. So let me bring this to a close. I haven't seen the chairman. He's supposed to be up here by now.
10 minutes, sir.
10 minutes. Okay, page 28. The work of preparing the kingdom of God. I don't know how many here will admit they see the preparation of the kingdom. They see the preparation. Things are happening. And they see it. But you see also the evil in the world. So there are two things happening. Things that see signs of the Messiah kingdom, and the other is signs of the old world. So the work of preparing the kingdom is going on. It's still not future. Now, I think we might get some disagreement there, but I give you a list down from A down to U on page 28. Of preparing the kingdom of God, eliminating the aristocracy, eliminating divine rights of kings, eliminating education of few, eliminating colonialism. Colonialism is going out. There's no more. Kings are going out. If they're kings on the throne or queens, they're just symbolic heads. And so far, I give you a list of them. All the kinds of work of the perp. So great things are happening at the junction of an old civilization that's passing away with a new civilization coming in. God's plan gives us the logic of how the jigsaw puzzle works and so forth, and how meaningful it is for it. And we pray that God will continue with his plan. Amen.